Yay. Welcome to this episode on identity politics. This is a hot topic, and this method of identity politics is used by pretty much all the politicians on both sides of the spectrum. And it is an old, time and tested method that has been around for thousands of years, and it's extremely dangerous. And we're going to be sharing with you why it's so dangerous and how to get out of it, because there's a method which nobody is talking about that is the solution to this problem that is happening in the world. And so welcome to the podcast. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to thrive and survive on this mad world, this crazy planet, as a spiritual being having a human experience. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, Michael. Lovely to be here with you.
Lovely to be here with you. And in case you don't know us, by the way, my name is Michael and this is Sister Shireen, and we are both spiritual teachers with about 55 years experience, practice with courses, groups, meditations, and all those sorts of wonderful things that we do. And our whole aim here is to help you experience joy, happiness, and freedom as a spiritual being while we are on this planet. And not many people talk about these sorts of things, so congratulations for being here.
Congratulations, yes, for listening. Absolutely. Thank you for listening, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for being here and for being an awake being in a crazy, crazy world. So, identity politics, what does that mean, Shireen?
What does that mean? Good question. Good question. You know, identity politics is really about dividing people into groups, right? Whether it is gender or race or sexual orientation or age or any of those, right? Like you're dividing people into groups and then you're talking to these particular groups and saying one particular group is better than the other or one particular group needs more help than the other.
Right.
That is identity politics.
Yeah, in a nutshell. And so this is going on all the time. If you look at the media, the news, any of the political messaging, this is happening across the board, not just politics. This is with businesses and different marketing strategies. So what people are doing is they're saying this group of people, let's say women, right? Women is a group, right? Women, they get talked to differently, right? And then there's, of course, elder women versus younger women. So they get broken up into subgroups. And then there are like gays versus straights. And then there's conservatives versus liberals. And then there's black versus white versus whatever. And so they're basically pairing these different opposite type groups against each other, saying that, you know, if you're this sort of people, these other people are out to get you, like illegal immigrants versus US citizens or this versus that. And so it's always a game of making one group feel afraid of another group or make one group feel superior to another group. And the problem with this is that if you try and artificially elevate one group above another group, like these people need extra attention, these people need special treatment or whatever, then the other group is pushed down, and then the group that's pushed down now feels suppressed, and they're going to have a reaction to that to try and push it. And so there's this constant battle going on. One of the classic situations we have nowadays is like the trans movement, which is a highly controversial movement and causing all these issues. Should males who transition to females be allowed to be in sports or go into different bathrooms and all these sorts of things that they're brought up in the media? Should gays be able to get married or not get married, and they can now, and is that okay, and what about blah? And there's all these different things. People have their opinion on both sides, and it becomes very contentious. People have arguments about it, and there's whole TikToks. It's just this massive thing going on and on and on. And so it's basically all based on the physical body or the internal orientation that someone has. And what we're talking about is there's something deeper than all of that which can resolve all these issues that nobody's talking about. So that's the essence of the situation. And if you look at the media, any media, right, you'll see some version of this propping its head again and again and again. Martin Luther King said, treat people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And I recently heard that that's now a racist idea, according to certain people. All right. So that's not okay anymore, supposedly.
Right.
What do you think about all this? Yeah, how do
you know there is a fundamental problem here, right? Mm-hmm. The fundamental problem is that when you divide people up like this, the one thing is you were saying that you push certain groups down versus elevate certain groups. And you don't even have to do it consciously, right? It's not like, let's take the men, the white men in the United mm-hmm. States, they are significantly not doing better, right? Like now 60% of college graduates are women versus men, right? Mm. So men are not doing better because women were given so many opportunities and, you know, they were, and which is good. I'm not saying you shouldn't. All I'm saying is consciously or unconsciously, one group got suppressed. And I feel that we as a society, we as a community, even as a country or even as the world, we really think of ourselves as belonging as one tree, right? And the different people as different leaves on the tree. And if I think of myself as one tree, then I will do what is beneficial for the whole tree. If I say that branch, which is all men on that branch and all the leaves of that branch, I don't need them to thrive, right? But it's affecting the tree. Mm. It should be together, right? Like, because yeah, we
everyone
belong
should
together.
Thrive.
Everyone yeah. should thrive, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and I feel that that's the basic problem is some groups will thrive and some groups won't thrive if you keep doing this. Right. That's the basic problem. And we want everyone to thrive. It's very immature to think that I don't want that branch to thrive. The reality, there are a couple of things we have to see here. The reality is that it is one tree. Mm-hmm. I'm not just tripping on some drug and saying, oh, it's all one tree, it's whatever. No, that's the reality. We all belong together. Mm-hmm. And so that's the reality. And if I don't see that reality, then I'm being very immature and I'm saying, it's okay. It's like, you know, as a child, right, to be aware of yourself as a body that, you know, this hand belongs to you, this hand belongs to you. It takes a while for the child to really get into that, right? To even notice that they have a body. So what I'm saying is basically, okay, if this hand doesn't thrive, it's okay, this hand should thrive, right? But it's all one. Yeah. It's all one. And so to really see that, to see that if I want to thrive, the other person should thrive too. Hmm. And that's the problem with identity politics. Only some people thrive versus the other. And that's the first problem, I feel. The second problem, really the problem here, really is I refuse to be a pawn for someone who has a lot of ambition and wants to, you know, at my expense, at the expense of humanity, at the expense of other people, want to be elected, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not saying, Republicans are doing wonderful or Democrats are doing wonderful or this party is doing great or that party is doing great. I'm not saying that. Both parties indulge in identity politics, right? All parties do, all groups do, everyone does it. Mm-hmm. And so we are just giving into that. Right, we are giving into their power hungriness, and because yeah. we are giving into their power hungriness, we are pretty much playing into their game and destroying humanity.
Yeah, and this is dangerous. Like this, it might sound extreme, destroying humanity, but it isn't really, because if you think about it, religion has done this for a long time, right? Where like you've got the heathens and the sort of true believers, right? I mean, that's kind of like the two groups. You're either in the in-group and you're going to be saved and it's all good, or you're in the out-group, in which case you're done for, you know, and not only are you done for, they should be killed off, you know. That's sort of the general philosophy of a lot of religions going back, and there's been a lot of wars around this. I mean, this is historically proven, right? We've seen all these different wars from different religions at different times, and not only religious wars, but also wars with countries, like our country versus your country, and we have to fight each other and kill each other off. So identity politics actually leads to, in the end, mass death, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It decimates the population, like it happened in the Balkans, right? Mm-hmm. It happened in the Balkans where, you know, the same looking people, the same, you know, whatever, because of identity politics really, you know, destroyed each other.
Yeah, and it happened like with the communist, the wealthy people were all killed off. You know, the elite class who had like the knowledge, they were all killed off, and then they didn't have the people to help do certain things, and then loads of people die. I mean, this is just like repeating cycle. As soon as you divide people up into categories and you elevate one and suppress the other, then the people who are suppressed end up getting either attacked or killed, or and then they end up ultimately fighting back and taking the other group.
Everyone fights back after a while. Yes, you know. And that's what leads to civil war, right? Everyone fights back. Yeah. There's not going to be a time where they're not going to fight back.
Exactly. It's just a matter of time until... Yeah, it's just a matter of time. And the thing is, the dangerous thing is that we can, the ego within us can get a kick out of doing this identity politics. That's the dangerous side of it. Like, if I say I'm pro this group, you know, and I support this group, I can feel morally superior, potentially, right? This is what's going on with a lot of stuff on Twitter and whatever else, right? X, whatever it's called. I can feel better because I'm supporting a certain group, and I can kind of look as like the sort of hero saving the victims type of thing. And it seems like it's a good thing temporarily, but then it suppresses another group, and then that other group lashes back out again, and it's just supporting a whole system that ultimately just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And this is going on all the time, and it's certainly not getting any better. And the solution is something totally different that no one's talking about, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Right. You know, one of the things we need to understand about this is we are just being used as pawns.
Mm-hmm.
That they want to get into power for whatever reason. Both parties, everyone, they're power hungry. They want to get into power for whatever reason, and then we're being used as pawns. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, right, the power pawns could be from another country that's coming in, you know, doing that, right? But none of us, I really feel that what we are saying is not that don't go vote, right? Definitely do what you need to do. Go vote. If you feel that's going to make a difference, go vote, do all of those things. But when you give in, when you give in to identity politics, you're just being a pawn.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, who wants to be a pawn, right? Who wants to be a pawn?
Yeah.
Like you just want someone to just move you around and know that you push this button and then you will get all excited, and you push this button, then you will all do this and that. Do we want that really?
No, it's a total disaster. And I think the kind of spiritual problem with this is that when we identify with a certain group, there's like an ego around it that gets to feel morally superior to other people based on nothing really. And that's why it's going on, because there's like the ego gets a little like badge out of it. You know, I'm so morally superior because I vote this way, or because I support this cause, or I'm into this thing. And that is something that people don't realize is happening. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if we want to love everyone, right, we have to sort of get off that high horse and come down and say we're all spiritual beings. And everyone is our spiritual family. is a totally different attitude. I imagine Absolutely. This episode might be slightly triggering. We're not trying to trigger anyone. It's just
I know, right? And we're not trying to tell people, hey, don't go vote, don't do this. We're not trying to say all of this, you know. But it's just that you have to look at this current situation. You have to look at it from the vantage point of 100 years from now.
Right.
Recently, I was reading this book on the history of East India Company. And so when that was happening, right, whenever whatever was happening in India and how the British took over India, no one was looking at it from, you know, historically, okay, 200 years from whenever it happened, how are we going to see it, right? And I wish someone did, because then they would see what was actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel it's very important to look at this period in time from 100 years from now, right? Mm. And I was listening to this story about how did, in 1964, how did Lyndon Johnson make, I think there was some southern governor who did not want to vote for civil rights for everyone. And he pulled him aside. I don't remember the exact name of the person, but anyway, I remember the U.S. president. And he pulled him aside and said, history will see you differently because you're not on the side of civil rights, right? You will be remembered differently. You can either, you know, get yourself a statue, or you can, you know, get yourself vilified. Which one do you want, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, so none of us are going to get statues. I'm not saying that. But we have to see historically, me thinking a certain way, where is it leading? And you might think, oh, it doesn't make a difference. If I think this way, this is going to happen. But it does make a difference, because every single person can reduce the volume on the hatred and the division that is going on.
That's right. The one of the main issues with identity politics is if I take the attitude I am in a certain group, and I get into that whole thing, then it naturally poisons the heart against the other types of people, right? So as soon as someone says, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm this, I'm that, it poisons them against this massive group of people, you know, like even men versus women, like that's like two major groups.
Right. There are some women like that, who hate, right? Even 20 years ago, no one...
Yeah, it didn't used to be like
no
that.
No one hated now, each other because you like voted for someone or didn't vote for someone.
No, you're like, whatever, you know, now it's like they won't talk to them. Like if someone like says, oh, I'm this thing, oh my God, and that's excommunicated, we don't, you know. And that's really not a good thing. And then people live in their little silos, and they only have their one type of information, and they don't have any idea about anything else. Really dangerous position to be in.
Very dangerous. And we are really going down a very dangerous path. I see this path, right? The ultimate path where this is leading, in the US anyway, mm-hmm. is civil war. Because where does it end? Where does it end? Your group and subgroup and sub-subgroup and subgroup, where does it end?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the thing that is so, I feel it's not in integrity, is we are just being played, right? The people mm-hmm. are just being played. Like we are just pawns, and we shouldn't be pawns.
No. That's this whole divide and rule thing. This is what they did in India. The British came in and they said, look, we'll protect the Hindus against the Muslims and the Muslims against the Hindus. And they both said, all right, well, at least we're going to be protected against the other group. And then they gave them a lot of power, and it gradually got more and more and more severe. You know, but like when you divide people into groups, then the people doing that can get away with all sorts of shady things because they're fighting the other side rather than looking at the who's messing around with them. And whenever I go on social media, which I try and avoid, I see these political posts and it's just like so toxic. Like people, they're like stuck in their thing, just going on and on and on about it. And then someone comments about it. And all along, there are these other group, bigger, higher level people just pulling the strings.
Absolutely, you know, pulling the strings, right? You know, we are just being puppets. Really, we are being puppets. If you feel any kind of sense of, no, I don't want to be a puppet, I really feel we should stop this. We should stop this whole identity politic. Because I was thinking about the role of all of us in today's society, the role of just people who are awake, right? People who are awake, people who understand what is going on spiritually, right? That role of all of us is to elevate the consciousness of people. It's not to degrade it further. It's to elevate the consciousness of people. And the way to elevate the consciousness of people is to really actually understand reality, right? The reality is we are spiritual beings. And once we realize we are spiritual beings, then whether, and not only spiritual beings, that, but we are one family. And just like when you go to Thanksgiving and you have a uncle that is, you know, whatever, spouts nonsense, or, you know, you don't agree with this or that, that doesn't mean they're not invited, right? You know, we all belong to one family. And so we have to understand that you can't demonize the person. Yes, they hold different beliefs, but you can't demonize people for holding different beliefs.
And you might need to understand what they mean, because if we identity politics makes us incapable of understanding other points of view.
Absolutely.
So we might think someone's completely out of control, but we don't actually know what they're talking about. So there's not even a willingness to listen when we play that game.
I know, right? I know. And this thing, I feel all of us, whoever is listening to this podcast, is awake. All of us really would need to come into this awareness of reality. The reality is I'm a spiritual being. And not only that, we are all children of God, right? We are all belong to God. That's what I mean when we say children of God, we all belong to God. Each one of us. So because we all belong to God, we are one family. That is the reality. It's not some, I'm taking LSD and I'm tripping and I'm thinking this, right? That's actually reality.
Yeah, and we're eternal beings.
We are eternal beings. We are spiritual beings. And so when we become aware of that, when we become aware of being spiritual beings, eternal beings, and we see the other person as spiritual beings, eternal beings, that is when we elevate the conversation. That is our duty these days. Not get into the mud and fight with people and say, oh, you're bad and you're bad and you're bad and...
Yeah, that's the solution. The solution is to realize that we're all one big family and we're all spiritual beings and this is all connected. It's not like there's the heathens and the kind of chosen ones. That mentality makes us, poisons our heart and stops us seeing clearly. But when we realize they're all big family, they're all wonderful souls, then we can actually have a nice connection with somebody, you know. But as long as we start seeing people in these different groups, then it just completely cancels out any goodwill. And if there's no goodwill, then how can there be any love and any willingness to thrive? And if everyone's thriving, then the whole world is thriving, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know? I really feel the exercise that we want to leave for people to really do this exercise is the exercise is that just watch any TV, anything, right? Just watch. And then you watch, you see them as souls. You see yourself as a soul, an eternal soul, and you see the other person as an eternal soul. I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying that. Just take half an hour, watch the other party, whatever party you're in, watch the opposite party, watch them and see them as souls.
Yeah, spiritual beings, and that soul has been influenced by certain propaganda and ideas for long periods of time, which has affected their thinking patterns. So it's not like their natural self coming out. It's all of the programming that they've got. Do you know what I mean? So to try and understand why did someone end up like they did because of all these things that happened to them along the way. But underneath that, there's a wonderful spiritual being.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so what happens is, why is it even so bad, right? Why is it so bad, identity politics, is we are going against the basic tenet of spirituality. We are going against basic reality. Because the reality is we are eternal souls. And when you start pigeonholing people into different labels and, oh, you are this gender and you are this race and you're this sexual orientation, whatever, right? When you start putting people in these little boxes, then you're totally going against reality, and that is very dangerous. Because we all know what that leads to, right?
Yeah.
We all know.
And who wants to be limited just by one thing? You know, like we're like, for example, this isn't me, this is my body, right? And I happen to get this body, but I'm not limited to this thing. Do you know what I mean? That's not who I am. And if someone looks at me and says, oh, Brother Michael is this white person, and therefore he blah, 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 blah. But I'm a spiritual being. I've got all sorts of interests and ideas and things that are not just connected to this color of my skin. And if you think how absurd this is, it's like what we're talking about is how much melatonin, you know, what's the pigment? Do you know what I mean? Like, how much pigmentation have you got? Like, it's on. There's no such thing as a white person, really. They're all slightly pink, going to a slightly different color of, I'm not even sure what you would call this color, actually. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's a spectrum of almost like paint swatches, you know. And then based on someone's got this number swatch and someone's got this number swatch, how can you define this whole person based on the paint swatch? I mean, it's the most insane idea that you can define somebody based on what color the paint is, you know, on this.
Right, right.
You know.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, this other thing, right, which I'm really getting into dangerous ground here, this other
you
thing, right?
Go for
right?
it, Shireen.
just because you're white, right? Like now you need to have white guilt.
Oh my God. I feel so terrible because I'm... what I need to be doing is... But what I do is I whip myself 5 times a day just to make up for it.
Right.
That's what I should be... According to some people, that's what I should be doing.
Right. And I'm thinking, like, when is this, like, it's not elevating people.
No, it's not. It's, you know, like, why don't you talk about your own experience with this? Because you're technically speaking an Indian woman, right? According to your body. Do you feel like massively suppressed and a victim in your life because of those two characteristics?
No, never. Never.
You came from India, right? So technically you were a non-white and a woman from a technically third world country. So you're sort of like in the mind of like the hierarchy of victimhood, quite low down on the... But then again, you know, do you know what I mean? So you came to America. Do you feel like you've been victimized and held back because of it?
Never. Never. I was actually recently telling someone, and not to get into the nitty-gritty details of this, but just to give you an example, I was telling someone that I was never, when I was working, never held back from promotions, never held back from raises, never held back from any of those things. Of course, I worked in a university setting, but either way, I did work in private consulting too, but never held back. If the same thing happened, right, if the same thing happened, someone, let's say, an American non-Indian American went to India. And they tried to get into corporate India and try to, I don't know if they would be treated as well as I was treated.
Probably not. No, America is probably one of the least racist countries, relatively speaking, compared to other countries. You know, like the Japanese, they won't promote people up to higher levels in like Toyota and all these things unless they're Japanese. Like there's, so people give America such a hard time, but they're doing pretty good relatively to other places, you know, in certain areas.
Right. And maybe because it is a immigrant, you know, people are immigrants here and, you know, a lot of, you know, you have a whole set of people or different kinds of people working around you. It's not just one kind. You don't really ever see that. I didn't see that working. I never saw that. And even if someone did do that, it never sunk in because that was not the way I was seeing myself. You know, it was like, okay, that's your problem. That's not my problem. If you think, you know, that's how I used to feel. That's your problem. It's not mine. And then people will say, oh, but Indians have an unfair advantage, this and that. That's why I don't really want to get into this. Because that's what people say in the U.S. now, right? The Indians have an unfair advantage.
Because of what?
Because of what? I don't know. Because of
how does Indians have an unfair advantage? The skin
because they're doing better. Because they're doing better than other people.
But why are they doing better?
Oh, God, do you really want me to? I don't know, really. Even if I know, I'm not going to say that. Michael on
well no, in India I've seen the list. Supposedly Indians are the highest earner per capita in America on the chart. White people are sort of near the top, but they're not at the top. When I saw that, I thought this is quite fascinating. And not only that, Indian people from India, born in India, are CEO of Google, YouTube, Microsoft,
Starbucks.
What is going on here? Do you know what I mean? So it can't IBM. Be that, IBM, yeah. It can't be that racist a country if you've got these people born in a third world country coming over and taking the top jobs in the company. I mean, so there has to be some other factor that's not based on skin color being a limitation in order for that to happen. But this is a whole big topic, isn't it?
It's a whole big topic, which we can talk about it in the next podcast, actually. Why is that so? We can talk about it. At this point, right, all I'm saying is, as a spiritual teacher, I care about you. I care about our listeners. I care about people. I care about humanity. I care about the planet. And if we care about all of these things, right, it's not just, oh, I care about the planet, so let's go save the whales. I care about humanity, so let's not dip into identity politics. That should be the slogan.
Yeah.
Because the whales are fine, right? The ones that are fighting is the humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so even if they're not fine, right, even if the whales are not fine, like charity begins at home. Let's first take care of each other first before we go save something else.
That's right. Well, we can try and save the whales as well. But the bigger issue is let's love our neighbors and not hate everyone because they voted differently or because they... whatever it is. So so here's the homework we want to give you, is that whoever you see, realize that they are your friend. They're a spiritual being and that's it. That's who they are. And whatever beliefs they have, eternal souls, right? And whatever they look like, that's not who they are anyway. So you're not your body. No one else is their body. So you just have to imagine this is like a wonderful practice that we try and do again and again. So you see the body, you can see it with your eyes, but just imagine it disappears. So there's no body anymore. And what are you left with? You're left with this sparkling star, a beautiful shining light, originally pure and peaceful, beautiful, divine being who belongs to you, belongs to the God, belongs to the whole family. And that's what we focus on. It's a very high level practice, actually. It sounds easy, but it's quite hard to practice. But that's the only way we
can increase the level of hardness of the practice.
You want to make it even harder?
A little bit harder, not too hard, a little bit harder.
All right, why not?
See the opposite TV, whichever party you belong to, see the TV that, you know, propagates the other party.
Right.
And see them as souls.
Yeah, see them as souls. And also you might understand why certain people believe the way they do if you actually listen to it properly and you realize that it's not quite as bad as you thought.
No.
But you that's not the point though, isn't it?
That's not the point. Oh, God.
That's not the point.
That's not the point. And I have noticed I'm not here to change anyone's mind. People have very set ideas and they really believe whatever they believe. Just see them as souls. You don't need to change them. You don't need to do anything. Just see them as souls. And while you're seeing them as souls, you're definitely going and voting. I'm not saying don't vote.
Well, you can vote or not vote. We're not getting into that. That's neither here nor there. But that's up to you. But if you see them as souls, but while we're talking about voting and all these things, I think it is useful just to calm the heart down. Because, like, for example, the messaging on both sides of the political spectrum. If someone's a Democrat, they're basically told that the Republicans are all a bunch of evil monsters. They're going to completely destroy the country. And the Republicans are told the Democrats are all a bunch of crazy nutcases. They're going to wreck everything. So they're both told the same thing. But if you see the people and you see what they're actually saying and what they're actually doing on both sides, the other side, you realize they're not quite as extreme as is being made out to be. And people don't know this because they're not studying. Like, I get three magazines sent to me. One's the left, one's the middle, and one's the right. So I read the same thing three times. And so I'm like, oh, it's not quite what it seems. There's something else going on here. But most people don't do that, so they have no idea. Even though that's not the point of this podcast, that can help you release some of the tension and stress that you might be having. So you can more easily see everyone as a soul and realize they're not quite as crazy as you might have thought they were.
right.
So.
Oh, blessing?
Blessings.
So pick a number.
27.
Seated on the lotus throne of detachment, you embody a remarkable equilibrium between loving and beautifully unattached. This unique stance of loving deeply while holding everything lightly endears you to God and the world around you.
That's wonderful. So, this is a podcast to remember we're spiritual beings. We've come down from our home. God is our friend, and this is a game. And when you have that awareness, then you can be detached, like what Shireen just read. Do you want to read it again?
Seated on the lotus throne of detachment, you embody a remarkable equilibrium between loving and beautifully unattached. This unique stance of loving deeply while holding everything lightly endears you to God and the world around you.
So, hopefully we haven't triggered anyone too much in this episode.
No, ultimately, right, there's a bottom line. There's a bottom line. The bottom line is see everyone as souls. You're a soul. Everyone is a soul.
Yeah.
You're eternal. Everyone is eternal. And see beyond the skin. Just beyond this skin. That's it.
Yeah. Everyone is the same. They're all spiritual beings. And that just simplifies the whole thing. And takes the sting out of this whole chaos. If everyone saw each other as a soul, as a divine being, all the wars and negativity would end.
More than ever, that's what's needed now. Acha. Om Shanti.
Much love.